Own an Airstream? Check out our book, Restoring a Dream, available on Amazon.com.
Have a specific episode you want to hear? No problem. Head on over to thevap.locals.com. You can listen to any episode, anytime. Stream it directly to your phone or on a computer. You can also pick from one of our many curated playlists to hear specific topics. So head on over to thevap.locals.com. For Friday, October 5th, 2012, you're listening to The Vap, episode 171, Greased Up.
With 2 tons of aluminum hitched to his bumper, cruising down the internet superhighway, The Vap is streaming right to your ears. Vintage Airstream Podcast. And now your host for the Vintage Airstream Podcast, Tim Shepard.
Living in aluminum.
Here we are back again, episode 171. I'm your host, Tim Shepard. Have with me Colin Hyde. Welcome, Colin.
Good day, everybody. Come to you again from beautiful downtown Peru, the wonderful suburb of Las Vegas, New York, where the weather today was kind of rainy and kind of cool, but it's supposed to be kind of warm tomorrow, maybe in the low 70s. Ha, ha, ha.
Nice. Yeah, we had some really crazy weather in Northern California the last few days. It was mid-90s, and then today it dropped all the way down to like 70 all day and windy.
So you got similar weather to me, except no rain. But it doesn't rain in California anyway.
No, it never rains here. So how are things going at the shop there in Plattsburgh?
Well, we're busy. I'm actually doing a Zolotone job this weekend, and we're trying to get this trailer finished and out of here for Kimberly-Clark, because I've got a lineup of trailers that need to come in that have backlogged, and I'm feeling horrible, and I got to get some stuff out before the snow flies to some clients so they can work on finishing their interiors over the winter. So that trailer is going out the week after next, but I did some Zolotone test sample chips yesterday and got my hand into the Zolotone thing again, so I'm looking forward to doing that whole job.
Oh, very good. Very good. Slowly getting all the facilities, I guess, back together at your new shop.
Yeah. It's and I've got more guys working for me, so we got into a rhythm to some degree, and people are starting to learning the skill sets needed, and so the things are speeding up, which is good.
It is good. Speaking of learning new skill sets, I learned a new one myself for the past 2 weeks since we did the show.
You're a pro. I thought you knew them all.
No, I'm a host.
Oh yeah. Excuse me.
The dry host.
That's right.
So if you remember on our cross-country trip when we were in Arkansas, we were leaving with some family there, and one of our family members pointed out I had some grease around the outer part of my wheel. And he's like, oh, you got a bearing going out? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, they were brand new Dextra axles that I put on, but they were put on 5 years ago. And That makes them old.
Yes. You know, brand new last year.
Brand new last year.
Yeah. That means they're a year old.
You know, I've been thinking about this. You know, here I've got another 15 years to retire, and I've restored my trailer 5 years ago. So my trailer's going to be 20 years old again. So it have to be restored again for my retirement.
Well, you'll have a retirement project.
Oh man, it's not right.
But look at the bright side. You won't have to do the polishing, taking off 50 years of oxidation. It'll only be 20 years of oxidation.
20 years of oxidation. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. Of course, you know, I'll be too old to lift the polisher, but oh well. Anyway, I had never dealt with with the wheel bearings, and kind of scared about that. So on our way out of there, we stopped at I called a tire shop, and they referred me to this trailer place. But when I got there, they were like big rig trailers, like diesel trailers.
Oh yeah, so tractor trailers.
Tractor trailer. So the guy comes out, and he looked at it and stuff, and he goes, "I think you're okay." You know, he goes, "If it was me, I would ride."
Wing it.
Yeah, I would wing it. He goes, "You're fine." So I kept checking it by feeling the hub, the heat. I didn't have one of those little guns. What's that little gun called with the thermometer?
Pyrometer.
I actually picked one up since I've been home from Harbor Freight.
Yeah, they're like 20-something bucks now. You know, they're pretty cheap. And yeah. They're real useful. And I mean, it's not going to take a lot of abuse, but you take care of it, it'll be fine.
So I guess the main thing is just checking the hubs to make sure that they're in comparable temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just felt with my hand every few hours whenever we stop, and, you know, it was fine. I didn't notice anything. So after a while, I mean, we had to come back 2,000 miles. So after a while, I kind of stopped checking, but I didn't have a problem.
It'll go away.
Yeah, if you ignore it and turn the radio up loud enough, you won't even notice.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that day or the next day, we drove like 10 or 12 hours one of the days because we had to get back to toward California. Anyway, so everything was fine. But after we've been home, it's something that's been on my back of my mind, and I was wanting to get it done. And a neighbor was going to help me, but his circumstances changes. He wasn't going to be able to help me. So I decided, well, where do you go when you want to learn how to do something? Because there's always somebody making a video about it.
And you go to the VAP.
Yeah, that's right. Call it in. I should have called it in. I went to YouTube to look up videos on packing wheel bearings. And, you know, there's a lot of videos out there. And because, you know, like I said, I'm never not that mechanical. Don't even like working on my cars. I'll do stuff that I have to do. But, you know, I don't like getting greasy and all that. But
no rebuilding engines for you then?
No.
It's just a big puzzle, you know. It's a 3D puzzle. Really quite fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, I've done some things. I replaced the sending unit in my wife's Impala. I've done O2 sensors on my truck and stuff like that. But in fact, I'm about ready to do a fuel pump on my truck, but that's a different story. So anyway, I watch these YouTube, several of them, and just get some different opinions on how to do it. And I thought I'd take a crack at it. So I actually went to Harbor Freight and picked me up some... what do you call it? The little jack stands? Cause I didn't have any. So I gave it a go. I went and got some. Let's see. What did I do? I needed to take a seal off with me, so I didn't buy any grease yet. I took the wheels off. Actually, I just took one off. I jacked up one side and then took one wheel off. And then all of a sudden, my first issue was couldn't get the hub off because there's disc brakes in the way. You know, I've never done a brake job, so I'm looking at these disc brakes, like, how do I get these out of my way? So I had a neighbor come over and help me. It's like, oh, there's these four bolts that you just pop off, and then you take the whole caliper and brake pads off as one kind of unit.
And you hang it on a piece of wire.
And, yeah. And, well, what I did is I ended up stacking up some... What were they, 4x8s, and set it down so mm-hmm. there's not strain, and no strain on the flexible
line. Yeah, that's the critical part.
Yeah. Plus, I didn't want it, I rotated it off one way and back on the exact same way, and I didn't want to, like, twist it in circles.
Exactly. Well, you got it right so far.
So, okay, so I got that far. So then turns out the brake... what do you call that? Where the pads squeeze onto?
It's a caliper.
Now the rotor, is it the rotor?
Oh yeah, no, the rotor or the disc, whatever you want to call it.
The disc. So I pulled the whole that thing just came off. So
that's an integrated disc and hub. So basically, the disc and bearing support device is all one piece, correct?
I guess. Well, that came off and it left the small hub with the bearing part still on the trailer.
Okay, so no, it's not integrated then. A lot of times the disc and the hub are all one piece.
So this made it really light easy to work with.
Yep.
Because it was just the the small internal part. Yep. And it looked like people on YouTube who had regular electric brakes, not the disc brakes, they would have like the whole hub to deal with. That's what the bearings would be inside that hub, I guess.
The drum brakes, yeah.
On the drum brakes, yeah. So
the
drum
and the hub is integral.
Right. So that would make it a little more heavier and to deal with. Anyway, mine was really easy once I got to that point. So, loosen on my castle. I didn't really have a castle nut. It has this big nut in there, and then it has, instead of, I guess on some of them, they have a cotter pin that slides through the...
a hole in the castle.
A hole.
And some of them have a washer that sort of gets bent up on one of the flats.
Yes, and mine has the washer that goes on to the spindle.
Yep.
So, I pop the washer off, and what I did is I put some grocery bags. We had those brown sacks on the ground, so anything wouldn't fall on the ground, because it turns out this grease stains everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I just pulled it a little bit, and then got that locking clip off, and then pulled the nut off, and then backed it off, and then I got there's a washer, and then the outer bearing.
Mm-hmm.
All that came off. I kind of took some towels and wiped the most of it off, and I put it in a bucket that had mineral spirits and set it out of the way, and then pulled the rest of it off, and man, tons of goopy axle or bearing grease inside there, just tons of it inside. Mm-hmm. So just glopping all around in there. So I took like a bunch of paper towels and wadded it up, and then pushed the paper towels through and got out much of it as I could. Then I had the issue of getting the rear seal out. So, according to what I was reading on watching on YouTube, people were taking a hammer, and they would put like the handle of a hammer inside the front part of the hub, and so then they take another hammer and a mallet, and they're hitting this handle on the back side of the inside bearing, pushing the seal out. And, I'm like, that doesn't sound good. So I tried to...
But they must know, because they're on YouTube,
because they're on
right?
YouTube. They're famous. They have 339 views.
Right. So it's 339 failed bearings.
Right. So, anyway, so I'm like, okay, this doesn't look right. So I turn it over, and I'm trying to pull the bearing out, or the seal out just by itself. But it's not coming. There's nothing I can do to pull this thing out.
No.
So I'm like, okay, so I guess the only way is to pound it out, like these guys are saying. So I turn it back over, and I lay it across some 2x4s to elevate it so the bearing and the seal could fall to the ground. And I get a 2x2, and I kind of hammer all around on the inside of the hub and pushing the bearing against the seal, equally around the circumference of it, so it comes out all together. And it did. Came out. And so I cleaned it with the mineral spirits, and it looked fine. I checked it. There wasn't damage.
No blue?
No. No blue. Yep. Nothing. And not leaking, because there was nothing on the spindle, on the backside of the spindle.
Good.
So, yeah, it was it was great. And this was the first wheel that was leaking out the front of the hub on the tire, the wheel, actually. So I guess on that one, there's a little rubber cap, because my spindles have the Easy Lube where you can pull off a little rubber cap and you can put a grease gun in there and you can shoot grease in, and it goes through a canal in the spindle, and then it comes out like the back part where the bearing is or the seal is, and then it comes back through the bearings and then back out through the front. So it kind of...
Yeah, and on the axles I sell from Axis Products, that's called a safety lube spindle.
Safety lube. I call Easy Lube.
Yeah, and they were developed primarily for boat trailers that get submerged all the time as a means to displace water.
Well, interesting you say that, because before I tore into this, I looked at that and I thought, they made it this way for a reason. Maybe they made it this way, and I don't know why I was even considering this, so I don't have to go through all this work of pulling this whole thing apart. So I called up Dexter Service Line. I said, hey, I got this fancy Easy Lube spindle, and I haven't ever taken my bearings apart and looked at it. Can I just squeeze more stuff in there? And they're like, no. You are required to take it all apart, clean and disassemble, and do a visual inspection on your bearing and replace your seals once a year or every 12,000 miles. He said, the Easy Lube spindle is primarily for boat use. So when you back your trailer into the water to lower your boat in, you can make sure you keep grease in there to keep the water out. So,
right.
Seems to me.
But you know what?
Yeah.
You went 5 years.
Yes.
You should keep in mind, everybody should keep in mind that, you know, in the old days of, well, rear-wheel drive vehicles, the front spindles were exactly the same bearing configuration and whatnot as these trailers. And you got your engine sitting up there, which is obviously pretty heavy. How many of you have ever done anything to your front wheel bearings on a rear-wheel drive car in the life of the car?
Yeah.
Very few people will admit to ever having done anything there. So yeah. The bearings will go a lot longer than you know, what you'd think based on their service schedule.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I was kind of wondering that myself, but then I was getting worried that, you know, I'm going to do more damage, like doing stuff like banging these bearings out, than if I just left it alone.
Yeah. Well, part of the problem is, you know, you want to see what's going on in there, because after a period of time, you may have, you know, a cage that's broken on a bearing, or you know, who knows what's going on. So it's a good idea, you know, 5 years certainly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So so Dexter basically told me, no, you don't get to do that. You have to take it apart. So anyway, so I did proceed to do it. I've already mentioned it. I get it all apart, and I got the seal out. So I take the seal, and I put it in a little baggie, and I head on down to the auto parts store where they size it up. There's a number on the back, but I'm not sure how much they gone by that. And the first place gave me a funny-looking seal because the seal that was on it, you know, it's a round metal device that basically friction fit into the back of the hub, really super, super tight. You have to actually hammer it in. And there's like a rubber, it's like, half of an inch, maybe a little more, 5/8 or something, round metal. And then on the end, there's interiors inside circle, that opening that where it slides onto the spindle. And then there's a rubber ring around that. But the funny looking one they gave me at the store had like two rubber. It looked like two seals back to back. There wasn't like a little cup indention on the one I had. So I didn't know if I should have used that one or not. It looked like it was probably like some kind of double seal, better.
Double lip,
something or another. And he only had two, and I, of course, wanted four, so I went ahead and bought those, but I went to another store where they had similar seals to the one I took out, so I ended up using those. My seals, I noticed, had around that rubber piece on the inside, it had actually like a little spring. And I don't know if the new ones I put in had that. I didn't pay that close attention. I don't remember if they had the little spring.
Well, some seals of the day, they had like a round spring, if that makes any sense, almost like a rubber band, but it was a spring.
Exactly.
And they used that to give tension to the seal to ride on the spindle to allow it to seal.
And I was thinking that, you know, that maybe they did that because you can use the Easy Lube, and you're going to maybe, when you start squirting it in with a gun, it would allow to handle that extra pressure of squeezing grease in there?
Well, there's been a lot of different designs of seals over the years, but a lot of them don't have that little spring thing in it anymore. Some do. It all depends on which manufacturer it is.
Yeah. I get the main thing is just the sizing, that it would fit
Yeah.
And everything, and of course it did. So, anyway, so I got the four of the regular sealed. I am taking the other two back, but so I get home and basically get everything cleaned out, the mineral spirits, and dry it off as best I can, and then pounded the. Since I had disc brakes in the store, they had high temp disc brake bearing grease. Mm-hmm. They had like regular bearing grease and then high temp disc brake bearing grease. So that's the one I got. Was the one that said disc brakes, since I have disc brakes. So I went ahead and I hand packed. I saw that on YouTube where you take like a globule of grease and you put it on your palm, and then you take the back of the bearing and you push it down until you keep pushing it down repeatedly until you see grease coming up through the top of the bearing. It's kind of like two pieces of metal riding into each other. You're not just greasing like the outside of the bearings. You have to get this grease inside that little canal in there.
Mm-hmm.
By repeatedly packing. And it seemed to be fine. I know you have a way of doing it with a device.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they're really cheap at Harbor Freight or even any auto parts place. But it's kind of like this cup device, and you can clamp the bearing on, and you use your grease gun. You just pump it right the way through the bearings.
Yeah, so I didn't have one, and I didn't mind this hand packing deal. It was too bad. So then I took cleaned out, of course, the inside of the hub, and there's the raceways, and I realized I guess if you replace your bearings, you have to replace that little race inside it. Apparently, you use some kind of chisel or something to pop those out. I mean, I was
a punch
like they say it had to be like brass. So you're not messing up the...
Well, that would be nice, but, you know, your old ones you're scrapping anyway. But certainly, yeah, a bar of brass or aluminum or something I've used. I have steel punches, too, but it's got to be flat on the end, not like a center punch type thing. And you work your way around it to knock it out.
Yeah, I mean, luckily mine, they were, like, super clean. They weren't scored or anything, so... I didn't have to deal with that. But I guess when you buy bearings, they come with a matching race. Is that right?
Yes.
And then you'd have to do that. Yeah. And I guess if you're doing it, don't mix them up if you've got more than one. Open one box at a time kind of a thing, huh?
Well, that's not as critical, but certainly you don't want to mix a new bearing with an old race.
Yeah. So how do you knock the new one in? Because they look like they're in there pretty deep, and they'd have to go in square.
Exactly. You work your way around it. Bit by bit, you know, you can't just kind of knock it in. It's got to, you fit it in there and initially to get it down flush, you know, you can use a piece of wood or something and you tap on it until it gets down flush. And then once it's down at that point, you know, you start using your brass rod or whatever and you tap it and you just keep going in circles all the way around because it's only going to go down a little bit each time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's clear once you get it apart and look at it, but...
Yeah, and it's going to be clear when you hit it to the end.
It changes.
It's going to stop.
It's going to stop, and it'll probably have a different sound.
Yep.
Yeah. So, luckily, I didn't have to go that far. And I guess, would it just wear anyways, or if I keep my bearings nicely greased, I wouldn't have to even worry about it?
Well, exactly.
Anyway, so I took some grease and I greased around that seat inside there,
mm-hmm.
and of course I already had hand packed my inner bearing,
mm-hmm.
and dropped that in, and then I took the seal and I put a little more grease after the bearing was in, just kind of spooched it around there, and then I took some and I put it inside the little bit coated the inside of the seal. Like,
mm-hmm.
And then set that on, tapped it lightly, and then I took a 2x4 that would cover the whole area there and hit the wood that would seat the seal in flush. Made sure it was flush with my fingers all the way around so it was in there nice and straight. So I did that and then flipped it over, and then I took some grease and I put some grease on the spindle itself, just a light coating. And then slid it, the whole unit, back on, and you could hear like a little pop, like a has its lid on, and then put some more grease on the raceway, on the outer raceway, and then of course the outer bearing, then a little more grease onto that, and then the nut. Mine has a little D shape on it to line up with the spindle, and then here's where I kind of messed up a little bit, and I have a blog post on this on thevap.com. Just go to the blog. But at this point, I took my castle nut and tightened it down with a pair of 12-inch wrench pliers. I didn't have a big enough wrench, so I ended up having to use like these big pliers. But tighten it as hard as I could, my mistake was, I didn't spin it while I was doing it. Now, is that the big deal? Because that's what kind of gets things seated in there?
You get sort of stuff rolling, and as you're tightening, you can, it'll seat, because it's a cone-shaped roller bearing. So you want to get into the cone to a certain point.
Right.
But you definitely don't want to have too much force on them.
Yeah, so I ended up, I didn't realize all that until after I had done all of them and then put all the tires back on, and then I was talking to some mechanics at work, and their opinion was, like I said, I tightened it. What I did was I tightened it and then loosened it and then did it hand tight and then actually loosened it a little bit and then put that locking nut, the locking washer back on.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was talking to some mechanics at work, they said, you were supposed to tighten it down to seat the bearings, loosen it by hand, tighten, and then loosen it so you can turn it the nut by hand, tighten it down, and then use the wrench to give it another tighter turn. And I got to thinking, and I think I even called you, and I thought, well, that doesn't sound right. I mean, I read the instructions on from Dexter, because you go to Dexter.com and they have all this documentation and you can download that and read it. And there was nothing about retightening it after you did it by hand. And so does that sound right to you? And if not, why? Why would that be a problem to actually crank that more with a wrench?
Well, your bearings, when they're spinning, they get warm. And when they get warm, they expand. And if they expand and there's no place to go, they're going to tighten up. And then they create heat. And then they create more heat. And then they get tighter. So and eventually they self-destruct. So it's really critical that you don't over-tighten these things.
Yeah. So what I ended up doing is I had to go back and pull all the wheels off and do it again. But I tightened it with a wrench, like a 12-inch wrench. And I guess you could do it 50 foot-pounds, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot, but okay.
But they also said a 12-inch wrench, so that's what I did. And then this time I spun them as I did it, and then loosened it without turning the hub. Keep the hub still while you loosen that nut. So now the nut gets free to move with your fingers. And then tighten it all the way down, like hand snug. And then put the clip on it. Now, the trick is, after the clip is on it, the nut should be able to wiggle. And most of the time, like 3 out of the 4 times it could, or maybe just twice it could, one of the times it couldn't. So the instructions on Dexter said to pop the locking washer back off and then loosen the nut by a 1/12 of a turn and then put the washer back on. And then now it would wiggle slightly. I don't know how you come up with a technical term of slightly.
Well, exactly, sort of, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So anyway, one way it wouldn't turn at all. I know that the instructions didn't like that. So and there's only so much you can loosen it where that clip will go back on. And I guess the same thing with a cotter, where you have to line up a hole.
The 6 sides, so the slots go through all 6 sides, so you got 6 variations there that you can adjust it to.
Yeah.
So sometimes, one is too tight, so you have to crack it off a 1/6 of a turn.
Yeah. So I did it, put the nut back on, now the whole thing can wiggle. And then, of course, put the wheels back on and check for play, vertical play, up and down by grabbing the tire. And it moves just ever so slightly. Probably the same or less than before I even started. So the same way the factory did. So I feel good about it. And then I just spun the wheels left and right, back and forth. So anyway, I got through all that, but then the next tire I did, I took it all apart, and I got to the part I hate, pulling the seal, and I got my, lined it all up, got my trusty 2x2, and I'm pounding on the inner bearing to knock it out again, and this time it was a little harder to get out. So I kept pounding, and it came out. You pound hard enough, things usually give up.
You just got a bigger hammer.
That's right. So it popped out, but then I noticed that the end of my 2x2 was kind of splintered up. And so I looked at my bearing, and now I had, like, wood splinters in my bearing, and I thought, that's not good. That's got to be a bad thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, I got to clean all this out and then check it. So I got it all cleaned out, took, you know, very carefully made sure it was all out and cleaned it and did it with the mineral spirits and really went through it with the fine-tooth comb, checked it, and it's not bent, it's not damaged, it's fine. But this got me to not like this method of pounding out the bearings anymore. So I called you up and you said, you gave me two things of advice. Do not pound out your bearings, and do not trust YouTube. You remember that conversation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, how do you? Well, do you have, is there a seal puller tool or something? I mean, it's got to be.
There's an everything tool.
There's an everything tool, yeah.
But basically, what they are is kind of a claw hook type thing that goes in. I use a pry bar and a block of wood sitting on the hub surface, and you put the pry bar that's got a little bit of a kink in it. You can buy, you know, pry bars at Harbor Freight for not a lot of money. It's 10 or 15 bucks or something for a set of them. And you just hook it in underneath, and you use the block of wood as a fulcrum, and you can just pop it out that way.
Yeah, I mean, I tried that with a large screwdriver and with a block of wood and standing on the hub, and it just got to be miserable. You know, this was on the last two, but I was determined not to pound it out. So what I did is I turned it upside down, so I had the seal side up, and you could reach in and you could push the greasy inside bearing down. So it was down like a half an inch away or something. From the seal, so you had all that room to work with. And what I ended up doing is I took an awl, and I gave one good smack, like I took the bearing or the seal, and I gave one good smack on each side of it to kind of like put a little dimple in it. Maybe I was hoping it would kind of like maybe stress it at that point or something. Mm-hmm. And then I just took like a claw hammer. I took a regular old claw hammer and I stuck the claw in, so it was. Going to pull up on the seal. Like I said, the bearing was pushed down way out of the way. And then I still had to stand on the hub to keep it from moving. And just a good couple of whacks against it, you know, yanks against it came right out. Pop! So I did both of them that way. And no problem. No stress on the bearings. So that's my new way.
Yeah, well, the bearings came out because, you know, it doesn't take much to bend a cage. And first of all, a roller can fall out. That's one problem. Or you're clamping a roller. So as the roller spins on this crushed cage or slightly bent cage, what happens is, you create heat. So that's the worst enemy for this whole picture.
Yeah, so... definitely. And then when I went back and reread the Dexter's instructions, one of the big things was said, do not pound out your bearings.
See?
That was like the second instruction.
Do not watch YouTube.
Do not watch YouTube. So anyway, people listening, do not pound out your bearings. But yeah, so that's my method with the hammer, that worked fine. And So, yeah, I was able to finish up. The first one was the worst. That took several hours dealing with all the different things. But the last three, piece of cake. No problem. Mm-hmm.
Good.
No problem. So.
And you have a new skill now.
And I have a new skill. And I feel, you know, especially after going back and readjusting the nut on the castle nuts, I feel fine about it. So, yeah. Yeah. And there you go. And then I used my wrench. What do you call that? Torque wrench. And I torqued the wheels down to 100. I have aluminum wheels, so I torqued the nuts down to 100. And I guess what? Do I still need to check them after I drive for an hour or two?
You do. It all depends on the wheel, but usually aluminum wheels, if the nuts are seating on the aluminum, you definitely have to. Some aluminum wheels have steel inserts at each lug, and so it's basically an aluminum wheel, but it's functioning as a steel wheel. Mm. But even then, you know, it's usually a good idea to – it's prudent to recheck.
Yeah, you know, and I know I did that when I first got the aluminum wheels, and, you know, after 100 miles or whatever it was, they did move. They did re-torque down. But after that, they were fine. So, yeah, I'll do that. In fact, when I posted about this work on our Facebook page, and Nathan followed up with a comment, he said, he writes on Facebook, as a follow-up to your bearing grease post, I was helping my sister move her SOB, some other brand trailer. We had a couple of tires changed and back on before we hit the road. Once on the road, I heard an extra rattle. It took us a couple of stops. We figured out the lug nuts were not on tight on one tire. It ruined the rim and the studs. Had we pushed on for another stop, we probably would have lost the wheel. When we got to the park, we found another hub spit out some grease. Turns out that tire was not on tight, and that was working the hub extra hard. So torque them up, boys. Nathan's advice there.
Yeah, I've actually had that happen before, where there's, you know, giant holes in the lug holes, and the studs, either a couple of them break or the threads get all buggered. Yeah, it's not a good sight. You have to stop. You have to find a place to work on it and find some more studs. In fact, that's a good thing that people should have in their toolkit, is some spare studs for their hubs.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Thanks, Nathan, for that good advice. I know I'll be checking mine. Because I don't know. I like preventing issues than having to deal with them later. I mean, right. One good thing about, like we talked about before, is, you know, restoring. You know, like my trailer had original suspension spring axles or whatever.
Leaf spring axles. Yeah.
And, one of the bonuses of putting on new axles is I was able to go to the auto store and get seals really easy. Because it's modern parts, you know. So I was able to go get some modern repair parts for it without an issue at all.
Yeah, and that's part of the key here. You know, you don't want to be messing. You know, if you have any issues out on the road, you don't want to be trying to find some 50-year-old seal design somewhere. And not that they don't make them still. It's just you have to go to a specialty bearing supply house, and they probably have to order them, which is another production.
Yeah, my neighbor was warning me, too, because I guess he was going to help me initially do this job because he had experience. And he was talking to an axle mechanic friend of his, and he was warning about if I had seals that had felt seals that do, because the trailer's so old, not to remove the seals because you can't get those anymore. Have you ever heard of felt seals?
Felt, yeah, but I mean, that's... Your trailer's not old enough for that. That would be much older. And certain cars and stuff had that. That's probably more 30s, 40s era stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, that's why I like having the new axles. So parts available.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it rides better, and, you know, you've got better brakes. You've got better everything.
Oh, those brakes are awesome. They're huge, and it looks like they haven't worn at all in that light trailer.
Right.
So it's very cool. I saw on Facebook one of our listeners, April Hirschberger, posted a picture of a Disney pin. Disney has collectible pins for their theme parks, and one of the pins she posted was a Mickey, I might even be Minnie Mouse, in a shape of an Airstream, but they have it entitled Earstream, E-A-R stream. And it has a little awning, and it has Minnie in the window, and you know, and it has little wheels that actually turn. So she posted a picture of one. I like, oh, I gotta have one. So I went to eBay, and I was able to grab one.
So the price is immediately going to go up now that you've just advertised it.
I know, huh? If anybody wants to find one, it's from the Mulholland Connection or Collection. Easy for me to say. Anyway, I got it on the Facebook page, picture of it. It's pretty cool, though. It's a little ear strip.
They come from Worcester, I think, don't they?
They do, yeah. Yeah, originally. You know, that's where they come from. Anyway, I thought it was cool. Thanks, April, for sharing that. Now I have one in my collection. Let's go ahead and get to our voicemail today. It is from a listener, Ryan, from Oklahoma. Ryan has a 1980 31-foot Sovereign, and he actually needs to do some plumbing work, and he's called in his question for his Sovereign.
Hi, my name is Ryan Gorman. I'm from Edmond, Oklahoma. I own a 1983 31-foot Sovereign. It has a center bath. The reason it's important is because I am in the process of replacing all the plumbing pipes. As I started, I noticed that a pipe goes from under the shower to the other side of the trailer to where the water pump is. My question is, can I replace that pipe without having to remove the belly pan? Is there a way I could connect that old pipe to maybe a new flexible pipe and fish it through? Or am I just in trouble and have to actually remove the belly pan? Any help would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. I listen to your show all the time. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Ryan, for calling it in. Replacing the plumbing on his Sovereign. What do you think?
Well, there shouldn't be any freshwater pipes in the belly pan.
Yeah, exactly. And they do that for a reason, right? We don't want pipes freezing.
Yeah, you know, exactly. In our part of the world here, that's the nature of the beast. So no, there's no pipes down there. Typically, you know, on that era of trailer, with the water tank, there's going to be a cavity, an entrance going into the down to the water tank, you know, in the center of the trailer, and there'll be a pipe going down in there, but it's visible from the top, and there's certainly heat that can get in there, so. That's the only pipes you're going to find down there. You know, there is something on the water fill that typically goes out through the back and out through the bumper trunk area for the city water fill. But there's no plumbing running down inside there other than drain plumbing.
So if he has to replace his plumbing, it's going to all be internal, right? Like under the beds and behind
yep.
the tubs and stuff?
Yeah, and we use PEX for everything. And it's very flexible, and you can get it to go around corners pretty well. And pretty 90-degree corners, you need fittings and whatnot. But going around the back of showers and things like that, it can take quite a bend.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I did that on my Ambassador. It curves back around behind the tub, and since I had mine all apart, I used some of that foam insulation you can get, and put it around there. But yeah, and then what I use, I know you probably use the crimpers for the PEX. I use the the C-Tech fittings that they just kind of snap on.
Yeah, and they're great, but they're pretty costly. You know, if you're doing a well, I mean, for us, obviously, we're doing it all the time, but I think it's still worthwhile to buy the crimp tool, even if you're just doing one trailer, because those fittings add up in price pretty darn quick.
Yeah, that's true. They're about $5 a fitting, I remember.
Right.
So that can add up. But, yeah, Ryan, you should see everything you need to. Drains will go underneath, like Colin said. Drains will go underneath the into the belly pan, but you shouldn't see any fresh water lines in there. So you should be able to get access. Might be a little difficult in some areas, but should all be behind the cabinets and under the beds and behind the vanities and whatnot. So should be to get to it. We have a question that was emailed in by Chuck. And Chuck writes, hi guys, happy anniversary. I'm in the midst of a rear floor repair replacement on my 1973 Safari. Safari's a 23-foot trailer. It says the original plan was to repair the standard issue floor rot. He has floor rot in the rear and add some gray tanks. And fix some frame issues. He says the welding work was going to be done in my driveway by my brother-in-law, who's an experienced machinist and welder with his mobile welding unit. Since the time I started the project, a mishap occurred with the welding unit, and it's not available anymore. So the mobile welding truck can't come to his house. But I believe he's already pulled his flooring out. So now I need to move the trailer to his shop, which is 15 miles away, to have the work done. I know the trailer can't be towed in its current floorless state, but my thought was to install a temporary floor section in the back with a 2-foot wide section of 3/4-inch plywood and bolted in place. The trailer is gutted from the wheel wells to the back, including the aft 8-foot subfloor. He continues, it wouldn't be too difficult to reinstall the next forward section of the floor as well, as it's almost completely between the wheel wells. Only the back 2 inches of the 4-foot section, which is the rear perimeter of the trailer, under the shell where it wraps around behind the wheel wells. And he continues on about different parts of the floor, but I don't think our listeners would be to follow it too closely. He says his brother-in-law evaluated the frame condition after removing the original floor. It can be seen that the main frame rails are in much worse shape than we could see looking from below. Okay, he's got kind of a second question. Let's go ahead and go with the first one. He wants to move the trailer 15 miles to have some welding work done, but he's already removed a large portion, like the back half portion of the subfloor. And as we know, the frame, the subfloor, and the shell, they're all very important to the monocoque design, making a trailer solid. So how can he move that safely for 15 miles?
Well, I've had clients actually bring trailers to me. They were concerned the same way. And I said, look, just go get some plywood and simulate, cut some small blocks and stick it between, in his particular case, it would go in the lower C channel, and put bolts through the end of the outrigger. So you can see everything right there because you're doing it right in front of you. But you can actually fasten it down in exactly the same fashion as it originally was. However, it's missing most of the floor, obviously, in that area. But as long as it's all tied together correctly, he's good to go. And, you know, you only need, I don't know, maybe there's a dozen bolts. It really depends how many outriggers and how many are across the rear cross member to do. But, you know, probably a dozen quarter-inch bolts are going to be fine with the nuts, of course. And, yeah, it's going to be a little windy in there, and you don't want to have anything in there that's likely to fall out or any of that sort of stuff. But I had a client tow a trailer up one time that there was no floor at all. They literally fastened the body tube back to the chassis, and there's literally nothing underneath it.
Did they put a spacer in there to pick up for the floor?
Yeah, all the way around, like simulated little blocks.
Yeah.
Simulated, you know, basically to space it out correctly.
Oh, okay.
Worked fine.
Okay, yeah, so yeah, some temporary, I think he's got the right idea, you know, put in, you might just want to put in like a temporary floor section just to secure it in case it has to come back out once it gets to your brother-in-law's to access the frame easier.
Yeah.
Let's see. He continues, brother-in-law evaluated the frame rail condition the other day. After removing the original floor, it can be seen that the main frame rails are in much worse shape than we could see by looking up from below. There's severe pitting in a few spots near the back where the plywood and insulation held water against the frame. That's a pretty common thing.
Oh, yeah.
Keep water out of the belly pan. That's actually hard to do. Easier to say. It was actually perforated in several spots, so the frame actually had holes all the way through it, just like my ambassador did.
Mm-hmm.
And I freaked out. His brother-in-law's plan is to just remove the aft 1 to 1.5 to 2 feet of frame altogether and replace it, much like was done the vintage Thunder. And I did that too on mine, just on one side. That was on the curb side, the street side of mine. It's fine. Brother-in-law mentioned that he would just, this is the question part, that he would just put the trailer up on a lift, a large automotive hydraulic lift that he uses to work on heavy trucks. What are your thoughts about lifting an Airstream this way? I would think that it should be okay as long as you support the arms are placed, the support arms are placed properly, but what would properly be? I imagine just fore and aft the axle mounting plate?
Yeah, that's, I've done it that way as well at the old shop. I mean, a car lift, if you got it, that's, you know, it's a means of doing it, but it's not the ultimate method. But certainly to get in to do the job that he's doing, that makes a lot of sense. It'll give you more ground clearance for sure.
I mean, we're just literally just talking like raising the trailer so that he's not laying on the ground welding. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I mean, I remember when I was getting my welding done, I had a welder do it shop in town, and I went there, and he was doing the axles, and when I got there, he had the old axles off, and he had supported the rest of the trailer, I forget, some kind of jack stand or something, and he had cranked it so high up on the front that the sides of the front of the trailer, like where the international emblems are,
mm-hmm.
they kind of sucked in a little bit.
Great.
And I pointed that out. I'm like, I think something's stressing. So he cranked it down, and they back out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got that right.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about keeping things level, you know, when you're doing especially when you're doing your shell off and floor repairs. That was kind of a freaky thing to say.
Another good example, you go jack your car up and open the door and then try and close the door again. You'll probably find that it doesn't close. The latch won't go. It's got to be sitting on the ground to make that stuff work.
Yeah, and you know, and you might even find that when you're camping sometimes. I know sometimes when I'm camping and I secure the trailer with the jack stands, sometimes if it's not exactly level, the door doesn't just close smoothly like other times it will.
Mm-hmm.
So it all kind of comes together, man.
Yeah, oh, for sure. So, yeah, it's critical.
Chuck, you're lucky to have a brother-in-law who's so mechanical to do that framework for you. That's very cool. He says, look forward to the next 7 years. Happy anniversary. So appreciate that, Chuck. Thanks for writing in. Sounds like you got it figured out. Get that temporary floor secure so you tow it until it goes 15 miles. Just take it slow. I think you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, he will be fine. That's certainly the way to do it.
Yep. Okay. You know what? I think that's about all I had. Had that exciting bit with my bearing grease and whatnot, and glad to have that job done, though. I'm glad to know how to do it. And
well, now you're a pro.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, when you don't know how to do something, sometimes you might be a little more careful than the guy who thinks they know, if that makes sense.
So. Yeah, I know, because the guy that thought he knew made a YouTube video.
That's right. And then the other guys who told me they knew were having me tighten the castle nuts instead of losing it.
Yeah. The guy on YouTube probably had more abilities making YouTube videos than he did actually doing the job. That's the thing.
There you go. But we'll probably have 50 people call. Oh, I've pounded them out for years. It's fine.
Yeah, until it's not. That's the problem.
Yeah. You know, and the manufacturer's instructions say not to do it. I mean, you know, and they make that available at Dexter. I don't know if other actual people do, but if you can get the instructions, that's the way to go. Anyway, that'll do it for this show, guys. We will come back in 2 weeks. Keep calling in. Give us your questions at 707-533-4827. That's 533-4VAP. Or email your questions to questions@thevap.com. And check us out on our website, thevap.com, where you can also send us questions there using our contact page. And then finally, we have our Facebook site. So go to Facebook and like us on Facebook. And you can leave your comments. A lot of times I'll do little updates in between show times and put little stuff on there. You can follow there as well. So thanks for listening. Until next time, we'll see you down the road.
Well, good night, all.
Five Airstreamers choose the VAP.
The fifth one just hasn't heard it yet.